Blog Talk Radio.
Don't worry. Oh no, oh no, no. No, no, no. Hey, don't worry. Oh no, about the thing. Don't worry, oh no, about the thing. Don't worry, oh no, about the thing. Don't worry, oh no, things gonna be alright. I know that the time is rough and tough, you can't give up, you got to hold on. You got to stand strong. Remember behind the dark cloud is a silver lining. I want you to know I and I are Jaja full swing. The same thing Jah do for me, He will do for you. Jah is not ungrateful, He'll be right there in your need. Don't worry, don't worry. Oh no, about the thing. Don't worry, oh yeah, things gonna be alright. Don't worry, oh no, about the thing. Don't worry, oh yeah, things gonna be alright. Some coming with raping, robbing and shooting, things got to rearrange. All they are doing is bare backbiting. Things got to be changed. Babylon don't want us to live upright. They always putting up a fight. I know things got to change. I know things got to rearrange. The same thing Jah do for me, He will do for you. Jah is not ungrateful. About the thing. Don't worry, oh yeah, things gonna be alright. Don't worry, oh no, about the thing. Don't worry, oh yeah, things gonna be alright.
We don't need two out of but three words. Tell this nation what we are talking about. They are big words. We don't need to have a great vocabulary to utter. We don't need to have a philosophical bit to grasp. They are three little words. We want to let the world know that these words describe what we mean and what we are determined to do about racial injustice. Down in Alabama, in Georgia, South We can hear voices telling us to cool off. Our only answer in calm, patient turn must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, no, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here, and we want all of them not next year, not next week, but we want them now, at this hour. This is what we're saying.
What your life can truly be. Shine and star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
Once again, it's Sunday night, and we know it's the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, Local 26, the Women's Auxiliary, the leader, and the co-host, and the information, and the one that make it all happen is the extremely intelligent, extremely knowledgeable, and knows how to deliver this information, the one and the only, your host, Mrs. Sadie Gomez. Let's give a nice hand.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you so very much to my wonderful co-host, Dr. Ron Robinson, who gave me all these lovely preps. I must fulfill this obligation. After all, you said I don't want to appear as AI right now. So this is Sadie Gomez of the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated coming to you live and alive. It's the Woman Auxiliary. You know how we do it on this side of town. This is where we take it from under the rug, we examine it, and we sometimes put it back, but we often examine the things that people would like to put under the rug. This evening, however, our topic, we want to talk about Annette Candida Bailey. Annette Candida Bailey, a North Carolina professor, at the age of 49 years old, committed suicide on January 8th of this year, 2024. We are seeing this type of news and we wonder, Miss Bailey, what was going on? We see your life, wonderful acclaim, position as vice president of a university in North Carolina, very well high up in academia. You even wrote a book. You have been very instrumental in the development of identity, especially for young black girls or women. He was also passionate about examining self-esteem. But however, a complaint was made that the president of the said university has been tormenting you. And for such a reason, you have found yourself, as one friend explained, because this information is also on TikTok, a friend, one lady, Miss Graham, explained that Miss Bailey was feeling a bit depressed and unsupported at the workplace. She wrote a book, however, it was called My Sister, Myself. So these are the things we see a professional woman married, comfortable in the job. I can imagine the figures, fancy clothes, fancy cars, the whole works. You can see her profile in Google. What causes individual to commit suicide for such an act? We ask, where was the warning signs? He was counseling young girls, especially young black girls. He was also married. Where is the support of her husband? And then, how do you ascend to academia and miss the appointment with the Most High? Did she know the Most High? Or maybe we should examine, let's say, mental illness, perhaps. Then, if it was a case of mental illness, how was she then able to counsel young women? What was she telling them? Did she have a problem with her sexual identity? For to kill oneself is not one of the easiest things to do. I think it's easier to kill someone than to kill yourself. Because to put up such a venture, you have to think about the act. What means did she use? Did she put a rope around the neck and jump? I mean, what did she do? Because to kill oneself, you have to stay and plan this thing within your mind, within yourself. I can just imagine the torment of just planning to kill yourself. because I can, my only thought is planning my next outfit for next week Saturday. I can hardly imagine what killing myself, what kind of thoughts that could be going through my mind. You know, I would not like to be preoccupied with such a conversation within myself, especially if I know that I'm a woman that have risen up in academia. I should have understand a lot of things more than ordinary people would have, I would imagine. Seeing that I rise to such a level, it means my brain was working good at some point. I wasn't on drugs. So whatever life throws at us, one can hardly tell why one would do something like that. To be fed up with life and just give up everything, just one professor of a university torment you, so now you said goodbye to the world, to your life, your husband, your family, you leave people behind, I would imagine, your mother, your sisters, brothers, if you have any, your children perhaps, I don't know. But if you're having a strong relationship with a higher, for which you all call God, as you all would know, if you don't have that strong relationship with a master, you have nothing. So it doesn't matter about your university degrees, your credits, your big houses, your cars, your fur coats, the husband. It means nothing. Because we are seeing a woman at 49 years old. It wasn't a teenager who we think took some bad drugs and fly off a building. It was a woman who we know had to be very disciplined, because just to climb in academia, you have to be disciplined, especially in a time when there was no AI in those days. At 49 years old, she had to go and read a lot of books just to go to a thesis. She had to do study and research. It was no easy flick where you go on a computer and everything just pops up and you can plagiarize left, right, and center. It just wasn't like that. Those were times when you had to study. People of a certain age, I have great respect for them, because going to university, it means sleepless nights studying, or what we call beaten books. And when you earn a degree, you know you earn it, because you had sleepless nights, you had red eyes to prove it, and you know you struggle through. And they say, yes, I reach now. So with all that discipline and sacrifice, to just give it up just like that, that's a serious problem. But of course, you know, here we are on Shady Sundays. We're going to examine everything, see why Miss Bailey felt so tormented. I can hardly relate to her situation. I don't have that type of torment. I don't feel that way. I have never felt that way. Must have felt about killing somebody, but not myself. I swear to God, I'm telling you, not myself. As I said, what goes through my mind, I often planning my next outfit for the next occasion. I really don't have time for the whole suicide mission. I'm not with it, really. So we are here on Shady Sundays, and we are seeing in the political arena just for a little bit of trivia and a little bit of excitement what's going on in the nation. We see DeSantis, he's out of the race. He ran out, which just left two contenders for the Republicans. We have Haley Comet is coming hard, and the trumpet is sounding hard. We see DeSantis has endorsed Trump. What is that telling you, people? But, of course, you know, you catch the news right over here. It's not the 6 o'clock news. It's the 7 o'clock news. But believe me, it's the truth. And it's coming at you fast and furious. Dr. Robinson, could you please let me know who is there with us this evening?
Yes, we have 929-586.
Okay, 929-586, you're here with us. Welcome to the show. You could unmute yourself. Welcome to the show.
Yes, I'm sorry. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening, welcome, brother.
Sister Sadie, I always like to hear your voice on Sunday. And Dr. Robinson, it seems like I'm always talking to myself. But that's besides the point. Listen, it is very rare to have black women commit suicide. And I may have to take that back, but let me explain something. For a woman in that capacity, and as you have related, Sister Sadie, on on what she had to go through, to get to where she was, all right, and the pressure that was on her initially anyway because of her situation, and to have an accusation or any accusations brought up on her character, capability, and capacity to perform her duty, you know, or to teach or teach those students, represent those students. Nowadays, it is a threat. Okay, it is a threat to the white supremacists of this world. All right, and the people who want to keep us down and they want to keep us in power. Now, what I've heard is that she had been getting a lot of threats about her family, you know, to harm her family and to harm her husband and so on. And this is what brought her to that position. I don't believe that. I know what was said, but I don't believe that, because a woman, a family will get closer together to protect their babies, protect her husband, you know, and so on, rather than take their life. Now, there's another thing that I was listening to about this judge in a relationship in New York City here, the DA, who was having a relationship with her underling, who she appointed in Trump's, I believe it was Trump's trial. I have to say this, and we need to really be weary of our positions, and that is, just because you have a PhD on your name, a master's, a double PhD, and all this other kind of stuff, it doesn't matter to these white folks. Your focus has to, and for you to get into that situation, for us as a people, I do believe you have to be focused on the purpose of your study and what you want to do. Because with that, even if you step over the line, if your dog shits on somebody else's grass, all right, you have a problem. You're a male or female, okay, and so on. So with all the cars, with all the whatever you have in your position, you are still owned. Even though you preach the law, you teach the Constitution, you go by constitutional law and all that stuff, remember this Constitution wasn't written for us. And I don't care what the 13th Amendment says. All right? We have to go in with an understanding that we are a servant of this government or this corporation. But we also have to understand, in my belief, that we are serving for our people, knowing where we are. And if we neglect that and go over what these people want us to be, we're always going to be a threat. When you get millions of dollars, you know, and you're doing something out of their nature to help somebody, they're a threat. You know, but if you're singing and dancing, you're not a threat. You can make the $100-something billion a year, you know, buy the 11 houses or what have you. You're not a threat. But as soon as you say, I'm supporting this, or soon as you say, I'm building a school in my community, all right, assume, as you're talking, that I'm going to sit in court twice a week and talk to some lawyers, listen to some claims, some things, and I'm going to take responsibility for two of these people that are being convicted of whatever, whatever. I'll be a mentor. Those are dangerous positions. And don't get it, Skippy. They will take you out any way they can. Don't care who you are. Obama had to increase the security, and he had hundreds of threats on his life, his wife's life, you know, and his children's life because of his position. He said one thing coming into the office, but when they walked into that Oval Office with them black bags and said, okay, Mr. President, this is what you got to do. And start opening packages, the whole game changed. Right? So you got to really think about what your position is, you know, how you're going to address what you first said, you know, how you can get around it, or when you get out there and you make enough money and you're not president, how can you go forward and help your people and help people in need, but help your people. Everybody helps their people. We're not allowed to. That's all I have. That's what I got to say.
Well, I thank my brother for your contribution for the Sunday evening. As we examine, you know, what really happened with Annette Bailey, we thank you how you examine as you rise within, I would say, power. There you have the enemy waiting to devour you. But let me hear what the other people have to say for this evening. That's why I'm going to let me know who else is in the queue.
914-979.
Your mic is open.
Yes, peace and blessings to everyone. Sister Sadie, it's an interesting topic that you have here. You know,
you're welcome.
Yes, indeed. A successful sister that, you know, have, you know, achieved some great things, you know, being able to get that position that she had. And then, you know, shortly thereafter, she's going to end up, you know, committing suicide, which is, you know, a sad thing to hear. But the other side of it, what you had said earlier, which is very important, is did you accomplish having a good and strong positive connection with God? And that is a very important piece of the puzzle, because when you have that connection there, it adds a lot more power and strength to what you can do and what you can accomplish in your life. But many of us, unfortunately, don't really have that connection. And therefore, when these hardships do come on us, like the brother was saying, it could have been threats against her family, her husband, her children, all kind of things like that. And that could have got her, you know, mentally, you know, feeling like, wow, you know, maybe I should just kill myself instead of letting them get killed. You know, so things like that could, you know, occur in a person's life by, you know, not even having that connection with God. Because when you have God's shield of protection around you, that makes a big difference. And, you know, because like I said before, even with myself having, you know, four police officers getting ready to kill me, and then, you know, calling on a wonderful and powerful force of God's shield of protection to come and save my life, if it's really meant for me to be able to extend it, if you could just spare a miracle at this time and allow that to happen, you know, because these white cops, all four of them, raised their guns to me, and they said, "Smart nigga, it's your time to go." I said, "What? You're really going to kill me?" And then, you know, when I asked for God's miracle and, you know, to spare my life, you know, that's when two black police officers came running down the hill and said, "Son, what's going on? You know, is this the guy that robbed the delicatessen?" And I said, "No, I didn't rob it, but these guys are ready to kill me for no reason." And that's when they put their guns down, you know, because they had two black police officers that if they had to go to court and deal with it, that would have been kind of rough for them to be able to persuade that judge not to even listen to two black police officers. But anyway, the good thing about it is that when you have faith in God, when you know that God has the ability to have the last word on different situations in your life to protect you and to shield you against the negative situations that are surrounding you, that's when situations like committing suicide or dealing with situations that could really put you in a very bad situation, you know, that pulls you out of that dungeon of negativity. And that's a good thing, because God is the one that created this whole entire universe. And being that he did, he has awesome and amazing and spectacular power that can transform different situations that you find yourself in. And unfortunately, a lot of times we leave that aspect of what can be done out of the picture. And because we do, we just deal with it from a practical perspective. But when we deal with it from a spiritual perspective, we can actually utilize God's spiritual power to actually bless us in other ways, where we can deal with, you know, different practical situations. But having that spiritual power from God, and, you know, really makes a big difference in our lives. So all I can say at this point is that, you know, in hearing about this sister, I'm sorry to hear that she got caught up into that, but one of the things that definitely looks like was a missing piece of the puzzle was the fact that she didn't have that strong spiritual God connection. And that's one of the things that our people need to start to bring into their lives. And I shared this before. I don't know if Sadie, I don't know if you heard of this, you know, but this was also a situation on my radio show, which comes on Saturday at 7 as well. I was talking about how God has really revealed to me that we as a people are true sons and daughters of God. And being that we are, that means that that God-given power that dwells within us is there. We just need to tap into it. And once we start to do that, we'll be able to change a lot of the negative things that we see in our lives right now. And when I said that on my radio show, what ended up happening, a white racist came on and said, "Hey, man, you better stop talking about your people are sons and daughters of God with God-given power within them. You better stop talking about they can bring about positive change by tapping into their God-given power, because if you keep talking about that, we're going to throw you in jail." And I said, "What?" I couldn't even believe, you know, a racist guy was going to come on my radio show and tell me, because I'm speaking about what was said in the Bible by God. You know, it wasn't something I just made up. Yeah, God said that we're going to be great and powerful people. Yeah. I didn't even say that out the side of my mouth. God said that in Genesis, that we are made in the likeness and image of God. And that's a very powerful statement. And when it's saying that we're not just limited human beings that can hardly do anything in life, but that we have godly power within us that can do many great things. But the big part of the problem is, if you don't even know that that God-given power dwells within you, then how can you actually tap into it? And that's another thing. These guys do not want you to tap into that, and they don't even want that kind of information to be shared with our people, that we are true sons and daughters of God. Because once our people in our community tap into the knowledge of our true identity and then start to utilize that God-given power, that will be great, and that will be an opportunity for our people to transform our lives and transform our community. Anyway, these are things that we need to know, and once we start to really get involved with identifying with our true identity of who we are and what we are capable to do, that's when we're going to start to see some great and wonderful positive aspects of new situations coming through, and that's what we need to do. Anyway, my sister, that's something that's important, that we start to recognize our true identity and, like you say, make that strong connection with God.
Yes, my brother, I can truly agree with you in this bit of conversation. if you do not have that personal relationship with the Almighty, it does not matter how far you have climbed into academia, something trouble you, it is going to freak you out. Because what I'm trying to get to here, what causes someone to commit suicide, especially someone who seems so well accomplished and has everything, or seemingly. Again, we are watching the outside of a relationship where things seem so picture perfect, but we do not know what is really going on inside. But for another human to torment you into committing suicide, it has to go a little more than that. I hardly believe it, and if that's the case, it's truly a case of witchcraft. I do not really believe how things play down. So we examine it here again on City Sundays. This is where we take things and we examine it. We see a woman who we believe her brain should be functioning properly. She's counseling young women, young girls, and yet she has a problem whereby she couldn't run to her husband. Then what's the purpose of husband? I thought husband was something that the backbone of the family is written. You know, the husband is head of the household. So if you have a husband, I don't even like how the news is showing up this thing, making black men look a certain kind of way, because if one white man in some university is giving me trouble, I'm telling you now, I go to my husband, we ride now for that nigga, I'm telling you one time. That's how the thing going to go down. But I would not be going home and killing myself. I'm going to take his ass out first, and we're going to figure the other thing out. I might be wondering where to put his body when I'm done with him, but I would not be killing myself. So black women, that's a very bad message that is being sent to black women. If something happens, you have a husband, run to your husband, totally solve the problem. But some white man would drive you to suicide, I let one white man try that with me, you'll see what's really going on here. But let's say these Sundays, you know how we roll on the side of the tongue? We take it from under the rug and we examine it. Dr. Robinson, let me know who's hanging out in the queue.
Yes, we have a special, special, wonderful queen herself from all over the place.
Sankofa. Now, you're in love with Dr. Robinson. So you see all of that?
The Queen of Sankofa. Queen Olabisi. Let's give a nice hand and welcome her into the show. Give a nice hand. Come on, people, now. Y'all don't
Greetings, one and all. Special good evening to Dr. Robinson. How are you today?
Fine, fine, fine. So good to hear your voice.
Likewise. Really, the truth is that too many of our women have gone beyond the protection of the male figure, the male head of household. I don't know who her husband is. I was in the process of, checking to see who her husband was. But again, the whole shift where there's that power base, creates that problem for us. Unfortunately, it seems as though, the husband was Caucasoid? No, it can't be that he was. But what I'm talking about pretty much is that as women, we need the protection of the men. We know that there aren't sufficient men, eligible men, to cover every woman. If we don't revert to polygamy, we will still have these women who some of them believe that their salaries, their positions, their masters and doctorate degrees, these degrees and degrees, is what creates momentum for them. But unfortunately, 2 o'clock in the morning, you cannot talk to no pillow and you cannot talk to a degree on the wall.
No, that can happen.
That's the time you actually need a mate. That's why the cheating doesn't even work. Because when you haven't empowered yourself sufficiently to be able to be flexible, to do what needs to be done, rather than go home to a house that somebody's pretending to have a headache, a tummy ache, period coming, they're already menopause, but they're telling you about period coming.
I find my house.
Again, illegible males are what we are speaking, what I am speaking about. Because not every man is eligible to be a king within various households. It takes a special type of man, a special fortitude of man to be able to function in that capacity, to understand that if he's cheating, he cannot go home at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning. But if he has multiple wives, when you know which night you're where, in the event that something happens, you're able to attend to it expeditiously. So these, and of course there's MK Ultra that we are thinking to ourselves that is beyond us. It's not that mind control thing that they are still using is still very prevalent, because nobody has put a question mark yet on the possibility that she might not have taken her life. But the fact is, she might not have taken her own life.
And Queen, I'm right here with you, because as I said earlier on, it's one of the hardest things to do. So
very difficult for black people.
Yeah.
Black people don't fall on swords very easily. We fight and we strive to find many different...
Especially a black woman who went through academia, you know how much sleepless night. And if you know you didn't have money for when the lights going off, you're sitting on a candlelight with encyclopedia trying to study. She's not 25, she's 49. So she had to beat books to get up where she reached. So, so it means she had a certain amount of gumption. So,
yes.
So to take your life, you had to be a weak heart. So, and to get up to where she gets, she had great strength.
She's not a weak heart.
She's
not a weak heart.
So this is a question. Who killed Annette Bailey?
Which is quite possible. How did she become unalived?
Oh, that's what I'm saying. You know, who done it already, you know? Because I simply don't believe in the suicide. I just don't believe it.
Suicide is not really written into our DNA. Murder and killing and rape and sodomy is not really written into our DNA. Which is why when the news comes of these things, we are surprised. Why are we surprised? If it was normal, we would not have been surprised. But because it's not the norm, because it's far from being the norm, it is at that time we realize, okay,
something's wrong.
Something is wrong. We are not prone. We are not so prone. Even what's his name, Dave Chappelle, had one segment that he was talking about Anthony Bourdain, who Anthony Bourdain used to. Go from place to place, and
yes,
he was a food connoisseur.
Yes,
and
yes,
he said, he said this was the best job in the world. Why would he kill himself? And then he went on to narrate that there was this young man that was doing well. He went to school. He went to college. While in college, he met this young woman. He got married and got divorced while they were still in college. He graduated. He probably didn't graduate. Things fell apart. He started living with his mother in the mother's basement or something like that. And there he was working at, and in Dave Chappelle's humorous component, he's saying that looking the full part of a referee and all in his striped T-shirts, his striped shirt and black pants. And he said, and this guy, when he's asking him the story of what happened in his life, he said, and it still did not occur to that guy to honor life himself, which is the truth. This is not something that we are very prone to do. We that's just not in our DNA, really.
No, and then you think about it like this. Black women who go through some dire straits, extreme poverty, will still find a way to make ends meet. We have seen it. So when a black woman is so cushioned and comfortable, suicide is not really in her mind. And
how to get away with murder? What's her name? Who won the award? How to get away with murder? What's her name, the actress?
Got away with murder.
How to get away with murder. That was one of the most famous TV shows and movies that she had. Viola Davis.
Oh, right.
Viola Davis talks about days when she literally had to eat from dustbins. Because when the interviewer asked her, you know, what is she thinking about most of the time when she's offset and stuff like that, she says, I'm thinking about food. And I'm thinking about so many days and times she didn't have food.
Mm-hmm.
Yet she never killed herself. She dumpster dived to stay alive.
Yeah, because black women have a certain amount of resilience, and as you say, not within our DNA to commit certain sort of acts, you know.
But whoever decided to honor life certainly chose a very good time frame, because it is shortly after she was fired from her job.
Yes. But even so, as I said, yes, Dr. Robinson, you come true.
I want to say in the comment of, you know, Lisa said about, you know, the multiple wives and the covenant of a husband. When I was a kid, I don't know, y'all might be too young to remember, when I was a kid in the late 60s, there was a song.
Well, we wasn't born yet.
Y'all wasn't born. I wasn't even.
Come on now. Stop it.
100 years later. They came 100 years later, people. They wasn't born yet.
We want dreams.
There you go. There was this song.
I'm a 16 baby.
And men started to think about something. The song said, who's making love to your old lady while you was out making love? Who is making love to your old lady? That was the how you call it in the song. That was the title of the song, and that was the chorus. You know, you come, who's making love to your old lady while you was out making love? So a lot of men start to think, you know, I'm out
that's
here doing whatever I'm doing. And men started to think, you know, and I was, you know, old enough to understand about the whole circumstance. And my dad, you know, I think my dad, you know, God bless his soul, he's a good man, but you know how it is. And my dad was a jazz singer, so he spent a lot of time in other countries and places and performing and all, whatever. And my mom always said, well, my dad was a distinguished looking man, so I don't know all about that, but she said she thinks he's good looking, I guess. And so I know my dad was singing that song.
So y'all said you brother and sisters.
I don't know about that, you know. My father was married before his wife died of some illness, and he had two younger his sons were young. They were like I think like two and three and a half, or 2 and 4. And that's when he brought them into my mother's life, you know, and then so forth and so on. And then my brother and I came later on. So I said that to say that
That black man running around with us?
Music makes people think. And so who's making love to your old lady while
you were out making love?
Who's making love to your old lady while you were out making love? So that would make a person think, you know, when you're doing whatever you're doing, what's going on at home, you know what I'm saying? Or if you have a very confidence in yourself and confidence in your lady, your old lady, whatever that song was saying, but I'm saying your wife, your girlfriend, your fiance, whatever that is. If you have confidence, yeah, you don't feel any kind of, you know, any kind of way, because you have to have, you know, confidence, and you have to have faith, and you have to have trust in one another to have a good marriage. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I was just saying that, you know, the song made sense to everybody. I mean, everybody thought the song, the lyrics, the title made some sense. Who's making love to your old lady while you were out making love? And, you know, there's all many songs that say, you know, a woman needs love like you do, and then when you ain't, you giving it to someone else, where's she getting it from? So, you know, it's a pattern of things that happen over life that, you know, when you hear, when people, a young lady is a comedian, she was talking about her mom telling her advice, and she said, oh, yeah, this comes from a lady that has three children from three different men. And so, you know, it's, I don't know if life has, like, a perfect schedule or a perfect, how you call it, a perfect roadmap, but things go and come, you know, and you don't understand. So it's like with this young lady that took her life, you know, she's a vice president of a university, one of the oldest African-American universities in the country, Lincoln University. And when you think about the fact that it's a HBCU, you're thinking to yourself, the environment should be different. The fact that it comes from a university that's built by slaves. I mean, actually built by slaves, not only the physical building itself, but all of the professors and all of the teachers, either were slaves themselves or either their family just, you know, was enslaved. So it was built on the basis of building an institution for us folks and you know, us black folks, to have a place to study.
Yes. Dr. Robinson, let me ask you a question, please. Do you know if the principal, if he was white or black, the president of the university?
Yeah, that's another thing. He was white.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, he was white. And that, but it's still mystical to me, because I'm saying, you know, when you think about HBCUs, you think about black university, you think about university that was built on the basis of lifting up our people. So in my mind, I'm saying that there should have been a built-in criteria to maintain a sovereignty. Women, black women, should, and her dissertation and her thesis and her book was based on black women in academia as a profession, all the things they go to. Now, her working in, you know, the HBCU, I would think the environment would be a little different. I didn't get a chance to go to HBCU. But I have family members and I have friends that went, and they just enjoyed it because the environment was different than the institutions I went to, which was white-built institutions, you know. And so it was a different environment. So I'm saying with that kind of situation, with a different environment, I would think that, and she said that she submitted complaint over and over and over to the board of chairmen, or whatever it is that oversees the university. It seems to, it seems like to no avail, and here we are now. And, you know, as far as what they're saying is that she allegedly took her life. And, like, you know, my mind is that me, I don't understand being in that position, like you say, Sister Sadie. A person of that position and all you go through to get there and all the things you have to experience now, and you're working in what I would think would be a safe environment for black people, because it's a black university, it's a black college, is based on our struggle. Those colleges were built on our struggles, built on anti-slavery, was built on the pride of black people, the pride of our people, to lift ourselves up beyond the conditions, because in those days, even me, I integrated the school system in South Carolina. I wasn't allowed to go to white schools, even at an elementary level. The elementary schools, the preschools, the elementary schools, the high schools and junior high schools, I was not able to go to a white school when I was growing up, but I integrated the school when integration came in, and it was hell. As 5 years old, you're walking into hell. You know, it should be when a child's going to school, it should be an experience of a beautiful experience of a lifetime, but I tell you, it was hell. It was hell, and anybody could have wanted to commit suicide, you know. But I'm saying, you're walking through the school. Just imagine, 5 years old, first time you walk into school, and all these white people, grown white people, calling you nigger, black bastard, trying to throw feces on you,
That's what I'm saying. Can I interrupt you for a minute? That is exactly the point. She has been through all of these things and survived. She's 49 years old. She has been through the worst already. She has gone through all the little calling of nigger and everything, and she has excelled. So therefore, to kill yourself at this point, what could have gone wrong? So the point is, could a white man provoke you to your death? Is that the message? Is that the news? So black women are shaking their boots now because white men cannot drive us out of debt. They can scream at us so much as they're going to hang ourselves. That's the message. So black women have become so weak and so frail that a white, silly-ass white man could tell you something so diverse and so terrible. Slavery is gone. There are no shackles around. Thereby, you can go and kill yourself. So, you know, yes, what message is that for a black woman? A strength, you know? Where's our strength? So this is what I'm questioning here. So, you know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know, and like Queen Olabisi said, you know, there's many ways people can get rid of people, and we don't know all of, like I said, you know, we don't know all the circumstances behind it. I don't even remember reading what form of suicide she used, what method.
Yeah,
you know, what method
she
used.
She put a rope around her neck and she jumped. I never liked to know what happened.
Huh? Right.
Did she fall in the
bathtub? She took some pills, or she shot her head, you know, with a gun, or she jumped out the window, you know, whatever. I understand this. You know, when you have kids, I have 8 kids, right? When you have kids, you realize everybody ain't the same. All your children, some children are strong, some children are more inverted type. Some children go out and talk strong. Some children don't talk at all. You know what I'm saying? Some children are outgoing, some children are not outgoing. Some children want to be friends, some don't want to be friends. You know, you have different personalities. And you as a parent, you protect that child that you feel is weaker. You get where I'm coming from? You put more intention into that child to make that child more braver or more outgoing or more, you know, consistent. My youngest child, she was, to me, I felt like she always needed friends, even when she was a little girl. And I took her, she had a jeans outfit. She was like 5 years old, right? So she was in first grade. I took her to school, and she had a jean outfit, and she had a hat. You know, because she had long hair, but she had a hat on, and her mother braided her hair up, and she had a hat. And a little boy in the class, when I was walking out to school, the little boy said to her, "You look like a boy." And he ran, and my daughter just ran back to the car. She ran back to the car. She didn't want to go to school, you know. And so I'm not saying that's a show of her adult situation, but I noticed that, you know, certain things was intimidating to her. I'm not her mother. She was more intimidating for certain things. And so, you know, I worked on that with her over the period of years, you know, from going into different levels of school, puberty, whatever. Her mother and I, you know, worked on, you know, her inner strength, her self-sufficiency, and not loving and needing so much friends. You understand what I'm saying? So I realized that there are people who are strong. There are people who are weak. And like Dr. Ben Yaman said, there are people who have God, people don't have God, people seek God, people don't seek God. So there's a whole bunch of different analyzations that can be put onto the situation. But, you know, I just think it's terrible that any man would take advantage, or any person, because you're in a higher position and somebody's subservient to you and they're under your supervision, and you just abuse a person, just abuse them. Maybe because she's black, maybe the possibility she was rising up to his position because there was a tremendous movement to get rid of him. All the students and a lot of the faculty did not like this guy. They wanted to get rid of him. And when this happened, that was the last straw. Everybody walked out of the class. Every faculty member walked out of the office, and they demanded in a march that this man be fired. They put him on administrative leave. But I'm just saying, there's something wrong with a system that's been built around protecting and understanding the conditions that we as a people go to let something like that go on. If she complained, the many times she said she complained and submitted complaints in different letters and called different people who were the authorities of that university, and she made her complaints known, and they did nothing.
All is good and well and said on them, but it's not what we promote here on this side of town, because if you are strong enough to climb up there, because it's not an easy feat getting up there in academia and reaching such a position, you're counseling young women, you have to find some inner strength and have inner strength just to be a counselor, because you're dealing with people's problems plus your problems. I'm saying here, it's a wrong message being sent. First, white men are scaring black women to their death, and second, black women can no longer run to their husbands for protection. So that's two bad messages. Something is totally wrong, because a husband is still ahead of a home. Because I'm saying to you, black women, one white man is your job threatening you, you ride out with your husband, you're going to see that nigga, and you're going to take care of that situation in the car park. And furthermore, he fire you, you're going to want to kill yourself. No, I'm going in the car park and wait for that nigga. He got to come outside from the class, because I'm already fired from the job. He can't fire me three times. I'm fired. So I'm going to kill myself. No, nigga, I'm going to get something. And when you come up from that class, it's going to be me and you go settle the score. And after that, maybe I'll go to jail. I get a good lawyer. I sure have money saved. But then, you telling me, killing yourself, what message are we sending? That's the whole thing. Black women are strong women, and we refuse to send such a message. We refuse. And furthermore, if we're not strong enough, we get our husband to do it, or we get one of our man and them to do it, or we ride up with some of our gangsters. But we're not sending no message whereby white men can feel power over black women at any level, even if it's been made in their house, and then you have to go home now and kill yourself. We are mothers, we are sisters, we are aunts, we are godmothers, and we are the strength of the black man. We are strength of the community, and we are mothers of the earth. So therefore, if that message that Satan thinks he's going to use his cronies to scare a black woman, that story is done and stopped. This message is going out. Black woman is not afraid of white men. Anybody else in the queue, Dr. Robinson?
Oh, yes, we have our wonderful people there. All mics are open if you'd like to contribute.
Are you there?
Everyone, wake up, unmute yourself. If you're trying to say something and we don't hear you because you're muted, so unmute yourself, people, so we could hear you as well.
We have a good and a bad that's always with us to test our faith, our endurance, all right, and our love for one another. And I think this is the time that we should get together more and meditate and pray and support one another. We may not agree on everything, but what we can't let them do is let them know that. Anytime you walk down the street and see another brother and sister, give them a greeting, you know. Good morning, sister. Good morning, brother. You know, and you can keep it moving.
Yeah.
Some people out here that never get a hello. you know, a good morning or a good word at all, you know, until you give that good word. And make that a tithe for the day, you know, to give someone a good word in the midst of what you don't know they're going through.
Yes, I'm back. I got dropped off for a minute.
Ron was saying something. Ron?
Yes.
Take it back. Talk about the good words again.
Yeah, give it. You know, we don't always agree in everything. And sometimes we don't agree in nothing. We don't have to be disagreeable. You know, let not us show them that we are disagreeable. But every time you walk down the street and you see another brother or sister, you know, give them a good morning, good rising. You know, you don't have to get into a big conversation about it, but just, you know, keep moving. Make that your tithe for the day. You know, make that your tithing. And I think that, you know, all of us will be better.
So you're saying that if a person like herself in her circumstances, she had somebody give her some kind of good encouragement.
Yeah.
You know.
What happened? What happened? What support did she have from the people around her? You know, was she in a loop?
She has a mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, well, a family definitely, but I mean within her job, in her position, in that school, you know, people around her that supported her, you know, loved her, or just would listen.
But,
you know,
Ronnie, let me just ask for question's sake. You think at 49 years old, she wasn't such an old woman? She had a chance to move to another university, perhaps. She was well accomplished. That could be an option.
And yes, my sister, that's an option. But, there, you know, in some situations, not all, but in some situations, there are people that think you may be so aloof that they're afraid to approach you. Not even on a professional basis, you know, but, you know, just say, yeah, hey, good morning. How are you doing today? You know, and in that situation, can I help you? What can we do? You know, where was the support? I never heard anything about the support of her peers. And maybe I didn't listen, but that's what I'm saying. Have the support, where the support of your peers are.
Okay, that's a very good point, thinking she didn't have a support because she said she felt depressed and she felt unsupported at work. Now,
Yes. This
is a case where is she alone feeling depressed and unsupported at work? The workplace is a place you spend 8 hours. The rest of time you spend at your house or with your family. But I am saying what it is at that level, at that high caliber, we would expect a woman like that to commit suicide, knowing that a black woman has more resilience even when she's going through the most dire state. We have seen black women, even we have seen from the Caribbean, black women going through great depression. Sometimes with or without a man, sometimes 10 children, one job, 24 hours up and down, household, and this black woman is alive today at 82 years old. And you wonder how she's in there yet. She lives in my village, and she used to go to people's houses to clean their houses and to iron their clothing. And I mean, it's just babies, children, no man, she got the babies, problems. It just was that a very rough life. But I'm saying what it is in a black woman. We were made a certain type of way that would drive us to suicide. So we decide, no, maybe we go to a grocery and steal a chicken because we have some hungry children at home. But suicide, so here we are. What message are we sending? Also, we are seen as structured or sober structured, whereby she was married. So we are seen in the home where there's a marriage, we have the support of the black man, the male. Now, I don't know if her husband, who he was, whether he was a black man or Caucasian, I don't know. But we are watching what it is that drives you to such a point, because this news is out there, it's all on TikTok, it's everywhere. So black women, when you feel pressured at your job and unsupported, do you resort now to suicide? That's the answer. This is where we are heading, because things are put into our mind, subliminal messages are placed, and we have to make sure that when messages are sent out, what messages our young children are now receiving. This was a woman who was passionate in her development of consulting young black women about their identities and about their self-esteem. Then, what was she telling them? You will not be on a mission to kill yourself. Happy you will be. Have I been muted all along, Dr. Robinson?
Go ahead now.
Okay, was I muted all along? Yes, I'm here.
No. We hear you.
Okay, so I'm just relating the story in terms of, but is anybody new that came into the queue?
No, not yet.
Okay, I don't want to leave anybody, because maybe two people was going to call in, but probably they called earlier when the show started and they didn't hear anything, but I should have let them know that we had a late start. But all the same, we heat up and we are running, and we know we are doing it for Ethiopian World Federation, Local 26. This is the Sadie Sunday radio show, and everybody's radio show, because we chime in to understand what's going on. It's on the news as a topic that is not really a hot topic. It's one of those that they would have otherwise sweep under the rug, but except, you know, we have our crew on board who is always shifting things and moving stuff, and here we are on the Sadie Sunday for everyone to chime in for what is going on. But as we see what is going on, a case of death of a black woman, suicide is the news and the headline. We can swallow or not swallow. You know what we do, we dissect the frog. That's what we do on the Try the Tongue. So we're looking to see what messages are being sent. But to think of the scary thing, I go to work and now, oh my God, the boss pressures me and I go home. I am so depressed. I kill myself. Is it so easy? Suicide not one of the easiest things to do? Oh, no. Is that, why would you want to attempt? And then 49 years old, if you have some terminal illness and you're out of your mind. No, it just doesn't add up, and it does not send the right messages. And again, I said, for this time here, we are indeed a war. It's spiritual war. It is spiritual warfare all around. We ought to get in contact with our spiritual selves and ascend within the chambers where we can rest comfortably in the bosom of the Almighty, of which name we will call him God, and name it Ahaya, of which name we know who we are talking to when we call upon his holy name, being children of the Most High God, keeping our hands clean and our hearts pure. The war is within spiritual. It's going to come into your head, maybe, oh my God, I think I should shoot myself. My boss just gave me trouble. Look what Anna Bailey did. Oh no, it doesn't really go like that. It is indeed a very troubling time, and it's probably going to get worse, perhaps. But suicide is not the answer. It's not the message that is sending, especially since suicide does not guarantee you one space in the kingdom. I think a thief can be pardoned, but suicide, there will be no pardon for such. So don't attempt it for all the listeners and well-wishers and everybody else. It is not the road to go down. It's on the news. They place the black woman in our face. And again, subliminal messages. No, black women do not commit suicide. We are mothers of the earth. We nurse the earth. We nurse our men. And we do other things, not suicide. So that's Robinson. Let's hear what's happening on that side. Where's the queen? Is she still on set?
Queen Olabisi, you're still there?
Yes, I definitely am.
Don't be so quiet, Queen.
I definitely am. Because, again, the shelter is so much needed as a family, as a unit. Chances to evolve into making a better life. But I don't know what we can do to fix that situation, but something has to be done. You understand?
I thought, Dr. Bank, you were saying something?
Yeah, I was getting ready to. I just wanted to have my sister finish, you know, her statement there. But, you know, getting back to what we were talking about again is something that is, you know, really important to look at. Number one, with a sister that had reached that level of success and had accomplished certain positive things, the other question is, did she really kill herself? Or was that something that was said that she did, but they did? You know, that's something that many times happens as well to our people, because we just listen to what is being said about certain situations, but that's where we need to go back in and really do an extreme, serious, you know, examination on the situation to see whether she really did, because there's a possibility that she was murdered. You know, that could be another situation. And like my sister said, hey, if she had a position where people were really looking at having her replace the guy who's the president there, you know, that could have been a situation where they wanted to eliminate her because they didn't want a black woman to be in charge of that, you know, position. So that could have been what happened to her instead of her committing suicide. So that's one thing to take into consideration. The other thing is, even with, like I said earlier, with me being on my radio show and they're saying, no, no, do not ever have yourself tell your people that they are spiritual sons and daughters of God that have God-given power within them and that they could straighten out whatever problems they have in their personal lives and even in their community lives. Don't be talking that no more. Or if you do, we're going to throw you in jail. When you hear things like that, what they're saying is they do not want our people to awaken to their true identity of who they are. Because as spiritually powerful people that we truly are, we only are being brainwashed to see ourselves from a negative mindset of seeing ourselves as limited people that should hate each other, want to kill each other, not even work with each other, and all that kind of crazy stuff. That's what they want you to keep envisioning about yourself and about your people. And when you can awaken yourself to seeing yourself from a whole nother perspective in a positive mindset of knowing that you are a powerful spiritual person that has the ability to do powerful and great things to change your life and to help change the lives of others, then that's something that would be a serious game changer for our people and would bring about a great and wonderful resurrected new community. And that's what we need to do, really start to see things from a positive mindset and really start to set up community centers, spiritual unity centers, where we can come together in spiritual unity to start to focus on bringing about positive change in our community. And regardless of whether they don't want us to know the truth about who we are or whether they do want, we do know they don't. The bottom line is that we need to take advantage of awakening ourselves. And once we awaken ourselves to knowing our true identity, then we can start to bring about serious positive change in our community.
Well, I give it to you, Brother Benjamin, but I don't know if someone else wants to chime in before I will let the floor be open.
All mics are open. If you want to contribute, all mics are open. maybe some people are good listeners, or they don't know that they got to unmute themselves as well. I'll just say that if I may say very quickly, there is strange things happening now. People say that we're in a time of revelation. We're in a time of revealing stuff. And during these times, there's strange things going to happen, and it's going to reveal so many hidden dark secrets that we have not seen over a period of years. And like Dr. Benjamin said, if you're not connected to the resource of all spiritual things and things of life, if you're not connected to the Creator, you can find yourself in circumstances beyond your control. Because I realize that people can get over exhausted and get tired. You know, I was watching Taraji P. Henson and her fight with Oprah to the point now she's suing Oprah. But when she was talking about what she was facing after 20-something years of working in the industry, after getting Oscars and Grammys and all that stuff, and being an A-list actress, normally people just pay you, you know, your standard fee, whatever your standard going rates are, and she normally would get $1 million or something for her performances, and she got $450,000. But really what got me is a young white girl came in who just started yesterday, and she got $1 million. So I can understand her, you know, her complaint. I'm going to open up another mic. 347-907, your mic is open.
Greetings and blessings to each and everyone. You know? I was on the train. I tried to be on the train, and I get home now.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Please fill me in what's happening.
Well, we are talking about, at this time, a North Carolina University professor, 49-year-old woman, committed suicide. And we are discussing this topic. It's on YouTube. You can Google it, and you'll get information more about her. Her name is Annette Candida Bailey. And this is what we are discussing at this point. But glad to, as you join the show, we'll continue the discussion. You're free to listen in, and at some point you can join in as well with your comments. We also did discuss the fact that in the political arena, we see where DeSantis has dropped out of the race. So for the Republicans, there are two front runners, Haley and the Trumpet, and we see DeSantis endorsing the Trumpet, so we are seeing what message is being sent out within the Republican Party, or we are feeling the atmosphere or testing the waters of what is happening for the election as it's coming forward. But here we are on Sadie Sundays, you know, people chime in with different topics that you may want to talk about, and of course to comment on what other people said as well. But for Benjamin Bridges, you were there talking about certain substance that you brought to our show concerning what was happening. And as we see, if it is that we do not have that strong connection within the spiritual realms, a lot of things could shake us up. And we are wondering now, a black woman of such caliber, you know, such strength, because to reach where she have reached, she didn't just get there easy. We know she had to climb through a lot of cobweb and everything to get there. It would have been, no one would have made it easy for her to get there in the first place, although she would have been qualified with her university degrees and everything. Just to get in, just even start school at 5 years old would have been a challenge for her. So she'd been through a lot of challenges, and we would know that. She lived on that side of town, North Carolina, or where she lived, even if it was deeper south, we know what she would have seen and understand from her grandparents. So we know she was built up a certain way. The question is, was it suicide or murder? You know, we are not too controversial here. We just examine things on a Sunday. It's only for 2 hours we examine it. But what are your views? What are your thoughts? What are your feelings? The mics are open. Dr. Roberts, let me know who is there. Okay, and Queen, if you're still there, we did miss you at one event when we did, you know, had that very gossipy night with the Cat Williams saga, which, you know, through you, I was turned on to watching. So are you still there, Queen? Did somebody fall asleep on the radio? Is everybody awake?
I am awake.
Because I want to know who pronounced some serious knowing there, because it's a family affair. We love you, family. It seems like you're not just next door, but somebody had a very hectic day. It's not
well,
9 o'clock.
I have something to say about the spirituality, which who was saying about the spiritual connection. I totally agree with that person, because I and I, as the children in this time here, can't get too tied up in Babylon and men and people thing. Our duty on earth is to do God's work, or the Almighty, or whoever you seem as. That is man and woman duty, to please the Most High and not be too mindful of men and people and their shit system. Because it's all, as you said, she had to go through as a black woman to be a professor in a white world. It's not easy. Not easy at all. She had to go through a lot of things. No care how bright she was. You can bet she was super bright to get there. You know, when we, the children, the black people, the Ethiopian people are up to par with them, you know that the system is rigged against us. The system is set to keep us down and trap us and to hold us down. So we can't have too much of the system on our mind or in our heart and our soul. We have to make sure the first work for us, our first priority, is what the Almighty wants for us, not what men and people want, you know. So spirituality is, I strengthen that argument. I and I personally don't see nothing in a Babylon where I go take me away from the Most High. You understand? Right now, I and I talents and I and I skill is to build up our nation and our people and the poor and the needy and the have not, the stranger and the widow, and the less fortunate. That is I and I work. I and I, as the children, no improve. There is no promotion for I and I in a Babylon. See me? No real recognition for I and I in a Babylon. So I and I have to know, say right now, the Most I work is I and I duty, you know? So spirituality is the right way to go, because really and truly, whatever Babylon wants to take from I and I, it's nothing. They can't take I and I spirit and I and I soul. You see it? So I and I, as the children, you know, if we try Lake of Babylon and Nota right now, the Most High works. Because right now, don't care what they take away from I and I, it's nothing. It's just vanity and vexation of spirit. They cannot get I soul. I soul is I goal. See, blessed love. Yeah. You know?
We thank you so very much, caller, for your contribution on this wonderful Sunday, that you come forward and let us know it's a case of deep within ourselves. We need to get in touch with our spiritual self to build that inner strength and talk to that Almighty, that
yeah.
one that lifts us up on high, because only through him and with him we'll be able to fight here within this Gideon. So with all those happenings, this is a spiritual warfare. This is a case of understanding what is really going on. We cannot shy away from the fact that it's a battle, and daily, we must climb upon that height, knowing full well what is a responsibility. But we are tested daily, so we see Miss Annette Bailey, her demise was suicide, or was it murder? We are talking about her at this time. We wonder what really happened. We are not quite sure what did happen, but the news reported that on January the 8th, Annette Bailey was murdered or rather committed suicide on January 8th of 2024. It doesn't sit well with us. We wonder about it and we are saying to ourselves, what message are they trying to send? Apparently she was bullied, but at 49 years old, if you were bullied, my God, what about 10 and 12 when you were fat and children tell you how big your ears was and your eyes and your nose? And you know, children are the most unkind, you know. They laugh at me as how big my feet were, and I straighten them out with that. So, you know, they often, they was bullied along the way because Obama said they bullied him about his ears, but he came out to be the president of USA. So who's laughing now? So children oftentimes got bullied, and we are often bullied also into adulthood in different ways. Tell me someone who didn't have to go through some sort of discrimination of some kind. But when we go through such things and we are faced with all these depressing moments and we feel so very unsupported, what do we resort to? What do we resort to? Because it's not going to be sunshine every day. It's going to be rain sometimes and maybe snow and cold and hot and every other thing. So we are so fickle right now. Oh, my God, it's snowing. I think I'm going to kill myself. So this is where Satan is leading us now down this dark path. Suicide is the darkest part because there's no chance to ask for forgiveness at that point. So may our lives be long and may us feel blessed along these lines and may we keep our feet firmly planted in the ground, knowing full well the winds of change is blowing and it's blowing hard. But may we be so strong and may we cling unto the Almighty, you know, and we cannot do it alone. We are tried daily. We are tempted daily, and it is not no easy road. It's rough, it's rugged, and for 2024, even more so, fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be rough and bumpy, especially after April. So we are telling you we'll have to anoint our doors with oil just as in the days while the evil passes over. But you know we'll keep you informed on the Sundays. You must always listening for your flight of wisdom on the City Sundays. You know how we do it on this side of town. Dr. Robinson, let me know who else is in the queue.
Okay, we have
all mics are open.
All mics are open.
I think the Queen must have had a long day, unless she's want to stay quiet. But we know you often fill so many obligations.
Yes.
Yes. So, Dr. Robinson, now we see there's a lot of scandal happening, too, with the Cat Williams and his exposing of everyone. You know, it's a year of exposure. You see Oprah is going down next.
Yes, there's a lot of revealing going on.
Yeah.
There's a lot of problems.
Yeah, is that time. That's what we are dealing with right now.
Revelation.
It's
the book of Revelation we're in, you know?
Yes.
What was
hidden
from the wise and prudent now revealed to the babe and suckling.
Amen.
Yeah. I was coming on the train this evening and I try to contact the show. I got it, but, you know, I didn't want the noise in the background to disturb. But there was this woman preacher on the train and this gay guy come in and she started to speak in tongues. She didn't even call his name. And he picked up right away and, you know, it's because I'm gay. What's wrong with me being gay? And you know, she said, this is the time of decision. Which way you want to go, hell or heaven? When you die, where you want to go? And it is really, what she said is so true. It's a choice. They choose to go against God's commandment, so they will pay the price. You understand? If you choose the Almighty, which is Zion or heaven, well, if you choose the devil, it's hell. So you must know which way you want to go. Or choose which way you want to go. The people on earth has choose the devil, and the devil will serve them well. we, the Ethiopian Jah children, the black people, has chosen Jah. You know, that's why our way is so hard, because in this time, you know, if you don't bow to the devil, you're not getting anything. And there is nothing in this world for us. You got to fight for it. It's your soul you're fighting for now. Why lose your soul and gain silver and gold? You're sure to die. Flesh is failure. Every day, your flesh is failing you. Man has sinned and come short of the glory. Every human being on earth is short of something, has a disability. And that's a fact. You understand? So it's revelation time. He choose to be a homosexual. He choose to be a gay. He says, I choose to be a gay. So just he said, oh, you choose to go to hell. So these people, they know what they're doing. They just like I said it before, give us Barabbas and kill Christ. I will forever say, this is what is happening. Kill Christ. Kill the good man and give it the bad man. So the bad man is dishing out the badness now. You know? So they choose badness, so they will pay the price. It's a seed. They sow that seed, so they will reap it. You understand? What? To gain the world and lose a soul? What? Everything in the world is temporal enough. The Almighty Amen. Father is everlasting, you know? So why would you choose temporal over everlasting? So, you know, the flesh will fade. Every day you get up, your flesh is failing. You're drawing closer to your celestial, or your, how you want to call it, your spiritual, you know, your spiritual life, your ancestral life. It's a fact, you know? Once you become a babe, from a babe, day one, day two, day three, you're developing. You're getting older. The world begins to take a hold on you. Mosquito bite you. This disease come. This, that, until you go. But what the Almighty put in each and every one of us, wrong and right, in our spirit. You don't have to read no Bible. You don't have to go to no university or no school. God touched us in the mother's womb. He's the life giver, and that's where we are touched. You understand? Look at us. We ain't say we're not doing wrong, but we are more righteous than evil. That means to say we are on God's highway, you know? Yeah,
Amen.
Man. It's revelation time, brother. Revelation time. And that's it. And that's the story.
Well, thank you so much, my brother, for sharing. And we understand. And this Lady Sundays, we know we do the scriptures because we're not afraid to declare what time it really is, and we're not afraid to declare what side that we are standing upon, for we stand upon the side of righteousness, for that is where we are set free, where no burdens or no bondages can hold us. We have freedom when we stand within the path of righteousness, because we know we have a Father who can shield us and protect us from such evil.
Amen.
But we know in the time of evil, we are unable to stand, because within the book of Ephesians tell us, you know, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, rulers of the darkness.
Rulers of darkness.
So here we are, as we are standing within these realms, we know we'll be tried, we know we'll be tested, and we know we have to draw our faith and our source from that wellspring. We know we have a source, we have a Father that we could go to. He is not too far away from us, because you say, I am nearer than your hands and your feet. I'm nearer and dearer to you than a brother. So he is dear for us. And we know within this time, within this evil, wicked, terrible time, that we must get on our bending knees and cry out loud unto that power that be within this here time of revelation. For it is so written that man's heart will faint for what is going to come upon this earth, as we see development of time and what is really happening.
We have more callers. 347-609.
Okay, 347-609. Yeah, Michael.
Hi.
Hi, greetings and welcome.
Yeah, it's nice. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. So I don't know how long you've been listening with us, but our topic this evening, we are speaking of one university professor, Annette Bailey, that committed suicide, a 49-year-old woman. She said she was being pressured and felt, I guess, the need to do so. Have you been listening onto the show? You can give your views.
No, unfortunately, I didn't get to come on early in the program. But so I'm not too, wasn't following what was going on, but I'm sorry to hear about, you know, what happened to your sister. And, you know, suicide is a horrible thing that shouldn't happen to anyone. Must be going through a lot of difficulties, and you meet a point in the road where you don't think that there's any answer, and the only answer you could come up with is to end, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
I hope
we're going to. Oh, okay. So we'll open up a mic of the man himself who created all these radio programs and all these different programs, the Neo Nation, the money, the black economics, and so forth and so on. And we're going to give a nice hand and welcome in Dr. James W. Winborn. Give a nice hand, welcome in.
Greetings, everyone. Forgive me for being late. Just get here, trying to multitask. You know what? I did not hear that story, but it sounds like a horrific situation. Any time where we allow people to move us to the point where we decide that it is better to be on the other side than to be here, I think is always interesting and at times very disheartening to hear those stories. I don't know the full story, but the mere fact that anyone would be so pressured and feel so guilty about anything that they would want to remove themselves from this third dimension is always concerning. But good things, I guess, we were. A situation where we will be keeping the family and all of those in our prayers. Give thanks back to the host.
Okay, most definitely. And so wonderful to hear your voice, Dr. Winborn. As you know, you're welcome every time on the Cyrus Tongue. And for those of us who don't know, this is our president of the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, our proud and wonderful Dr. James Winborn. So here we are on our Shady Sundays. You know how we keep it. We keep it real on the side of tongue. There's a story about this wonderful woman who assumingly or allegedly committed suicide. Whether believe it or not, it could be murder, but we would get to the bottom of it at some point in time. We examine it. We talk of the black woman and her resilience, and we know the black woman is not an easy one to shake down, and suicide is never on our agenda. We are the mothers of the earth. We are the queens of the earth. We are the sisters, the godmothers, lovers, friends, and that is who we are. And we would continue to do so because we don't want to send the wrong message about what the black woman is all about. We have been under numerous pressures, dire straits. We have been through all sorts of things, and we are still around. It's been, 400 years and counting? I mean, we are almost out of it, but we are still here. We are still here. And by the way, speaking of still here, just to give a little trivia, I saw a disturbing video. Oh, no, rather, it's not trivia. This is the news is playing it down. But children are being sold in the Congo. There are children being tied in croakers bags and are being shipped away and sold. So I think we should also pray for the children in the Congo that are being sold into slavery. this is 2024, and this is really a wild matter. So as we think of things local and abroad as well, Africa, our home, we examine what is going on in the Congo and really what is going on in the Congo. So let our prayers be for our brothers and sisters who are mothers and fathers to these children, and I don't know if they are being pressured into selling their children, because the beast is wild and loose at this time. So this piece of news is quite troubling. Don't like it at all. I have a great passion for children and for the innocent. And really, 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 it is disturbing. But as we know, it's part of the news, it's part of the times, it's part of what's happening right now. It's not really a pleasant time. And if we should expect it to be, we should really be disillusioned if we should really sit back and think there's some kind of bed of roses or something. No, this is the end time. And we just have to be aware that we are alive and it is, in fact, the end time. It is an interesting time to be alive, however, because it is the time of revelation. It's a time of exposure. It is a time where big matters are going to be just thrown right before us, and then nothing nobody can do about it because it's just the way it is. It's the year 2024, and for those of us who enjoy numerology, it is the year of 8, and we know that 8 is the year of karma. It's two big circles, and you know what it is. It what goes around comes around. I like to call it the year of the boomerang. I just love this year. So for those of us who want to stand on solid ground, we advise each other as we stand closer within the realms of the Almighty. Hold fast to what that what is good, because as I say, karma is the boomerang. You know the boomerang? Oh, you throw it out, it's coming back at you, coming right back. So be careful in what you do, because it's coming back at you this year. For those who want to shake in their boots and who want to continue evil ways, I strongly suggest that you change, especially 2024. Or you keep that for 2025, which is a different type of year. It is, in fact, a wonderful, wonderful time to be alive, as we see a great day to be black. We are rising, and especially for the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, we are, in fact, Federation Rising. For this we do, and we love, as we continue, we, the black people of the world, showing indeed that Local 26 is up and about doing things, and we invite the other locals to come on as well and join us in conversation at any given time that they may wish to discuss something. Remember, this platform is here for you as well, for all other locals who may wish to have a conversation of any kind. You know, we reveal and we do the truth and decide once you keep it within those precepts, we can handle any bit of conversation. No scandal, no bacchanal, we don't like it like that at all. We don't really like it. But for Dr. Robinson, you know, you greeted your queen, you had a love fest. I don't know if she fell asleep on you, Dr. Robinson. What is that all about?
She got a lot of things to do. But we're at the end anyway, sister. We're at the end.
Okay, we're coming close to the very end. All right, so this is Sadie Gomez.
Yeah, we're at the very end, actually. Yeah.
Saying good night.
Good night.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go. Your life has been out of control. You're confused. But don't worry.
Don't worry, your song, it will get better.
It's gotta get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
Cause
God is in
control, y'all.
keep on grinding. God's gonna make you
better.
Gotta get better.